Well, Psalm 93 only has five verses, but it says a lot. And in Revelation 3:21, we read these words that were spoken by Jesus Christ. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Those two pronouns, my and his, present to us deep and profound doctrine. It's quite evident that God the Father has a throne, and it's also quite evident that God the Son will have a throne. And that specific throne that Christ is referring to in Revelation 3 is his messianic throne, when he reigns as the King of Kings in the kingdom. Psalm 93 is a psalm that takes us into the future to celebrate the reign of Jesus Christ in all of his sovereignty and all of his majesty. Psalm 93 is a theocratic psalm, which means it's a psalm that features God reigning on earth. Merle Unger called this psalm the Messiah's millennial reign. The psalm celebrates the kingship of Jesus Christ and actually presents him reigning over the entire world. The primary point of the psalm is this: Jesus Christ, who is the Lord, will someday physically reign over the entire world, and he will be seen in all his glory and majesty. The book of Psalms, there are psalms that are called enthronement psalms because they focus on the kingship reign of the Lord. Psalms are 47, 93, 96, and 99. Three of the four psalms occur in book four of the Psalms. In this psalm, the writer describes the Lord's reign one day on earth. There have been many different attempts to outline Psalm 93, and most of them break down the psalm in three parts. The sovereign fact of the reign of the Lord. Look at verses 1 and 2. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He is put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. It's the Lord who reigns. It's different, important doctrine for us to know, because if we look at our present world, it's quite obvious that the Lord is not reigning right now. In fact, right now this world is evil and is controlled by the enemy. But what this psalm shows us is that there's a time coming when the Lord will reign. This proposition that is yet to be proved, and this is a prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled. The word Lord is Jehovah or Yahweh, so the person who's actually reigning is none other than God. Since it's Jesus Christ who reigns, Jesus Christ is God, and he is Jehovah in person. And as the Lord who reigns majestically, when Jesus Christ was here on earth the first time, there are glimpses of his majesty. For example, as Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John got a small glimpse of the majesty of Christ. During the thousand-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ, he will literally be on this earth reigning in all his majestic glory. He will be seen as the majestic, divine King of Kings. By the way, when someone is presenting truth about Jesus Christ, that truth will show Jesus Christ to be the glorious and majestic God. And it is the Lord who will reign in strength. Our present world is run by political leaders who don't want to present the idea that they're too strong or dominant. Well, when Jesus Christ reigns, it'll be a reign of total dominant strength. There's evidence of the Lord's majestic power all around us. But what a day it will be when we'll actually, here on earth, see him reigning in full display of power and strength. Jesus Christ will not be some wimpy king. Everything about him and everything about his reign will be strong. This reign will be political and will be powerful, displaying the full power of God. And it is the Lord who will firmly establish the earth. The entire world will fully and firmly established under the kingly reign of Jesus Christ. He'll reign over everything on earth, all moral matters, all political matters, all social matters, legal matters, and even personal matters will be under his reign. And that word established means that he will not totter or buckle in any area. Everything on earth will be totally subject to the will of God. His reign will be one of total righteousness. There will be no war, no evil, no revolt, no crime, no immorality, and no inequality. Truth is, we cannot even begin to imagine an entire world in which there is no sin or rebellion. But when Jesus is reigning, that will be the case. It is the Lord who established this throne in days past. Clear back to 2 Samuel 7. God promised David that one would come through his line who would someday reign, whose throne would be established forever. and God is faithful to fulfill his word, even if it takes thousands of years. It was about 1,000 years before Christ, when God made this promise to David. It's been 2,000 years since Christ left this world. So the total time is about 3,000 years. But this psalm says there'll come a day when Jesus Christ will reign. There'll come a day when God will remember all these promises of old as the Lord who is everlasting. Jesus Christ is the one who will reign. Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's eternal. He came to earth. He came as God incarnate, meaning God in the flesh. Even though he had a day of physical birth onto the earth, he always existed as God, the second member of the Godhead. When a person sees Jesus Christ, he's seeing the God-man. And as the God-man, he's always existed. What an amazing king he will be. What an amazing reign he will have. And what a glorious time it will be when the sovereign, majestic King of Kings is reigning over this earth. But then we see the reality of the opposing powers of the world. Look at verses 3 and 4. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. God is in sovereign control and the sovereign power of all things. It's clear from these verses that the two main nouns are being used metaphorically to communicate a point. The two nouns are floods and waters. And in Isaiah 17, 12 and 13, we read, "Alas, the uproar of many peoples who roar like the roaring of the seas and the rumbling of nations, who rush on like the rumbling of mighty waters." The nations rumble on like the rumbling of many waters, but he will rebuke them and they will flee far away and be chased like chaff in the mountains before the wind or like whirling dust before a gale. This world will not just automatically submit itself nicely to Jesus Christ. The nations of the world will not humbly bow to him. They will arrogantly defy him. There will be opposition to Jesus Christ until he overthrows it. And that opposition will intensify as we near that point in time. See that nations will lift themselves up against him. Until Jesus Christ forcefully takes over this world, nations will arrogantly stand against him. This is what most men want to do, lift themselves up and exalt themselves. The nations will lift up their voices against him. Nations will lift up their voices against him in a collective unity. People who hate Jesus Christ grouped together in a united verbal attack against him. Nations will unite and pound against him. Nations will be unified in war. Waters lift up their pounding waves and bang against the seashore. It does some destruction, but it never conquers the entire coast. The nations will unite against him more than any other time in history. There'll be a worldwide sound and stand against God that is more than any other sound that is ever heard in history. And the nations will not defeat him. He will defeat them. Nations will unite together thinking they are strong. However, they are up against the almighty, majestic God. It does not matter how strong the satanic enemy, it cannot beat almighty God. And then lastly, the word of God confirms the sovereign throne of the Lord. Look at verse 5. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. Jesus Christ will reign from Jerusalem as King of Kings. His throne will be established, and God's throne is confirmed by God's word. God will always fully confirm his word by literally fulfilling his prophecies. God's house is a place that is holy. This is what God's house is to be, a holy place of reverent worship. And then God's reign will be forever and ever. And God is a God of forevermore.